Well, greetings of love this morning in Jesus' name. Saludos a todos en esta mañana en nombre de nuestro Señor y Salvador Jesucristo. El título que he escogido para el mensaje hoy es Para el Vencedor. The title that I have this morning is To the Overcomer. It's been on my mind this week, thinking about who overcomes in a world of sadness and sickness and temptation and hard things and affluence and everything else. It's been on my mind, who actually overcomes? And then what are promises that come to that one that overcomes? Las meditaciones de mi corazón esta semana han sido acerca de un vencedor. Entre todas las pruebas, luchas, dificultades que uno enfrenta, afanes económicas, ¿quién de veras va a vencer? ¿Quién va a ganar la victoria últimamente? There's a world of difference this morning between a overcomer and one who is defeated. It's a world of difference. It's actually a life of difference of life and death. If we overcome or if we do not. If we are victorious or if we are not. Hay un mundo de diferencia entre ser vencedor y ser derrotado o vencido. Más bien es la diferencia de vida o muerte. Si uno es victorioso o si uno sale derrotado. Observamos una lucha. En una lucha siempre hay alguien que gana y alguien que pierde. En un juego de dos partidos, casi siempre al fin del juego alguien ganó y alguien perdonó. Rara vez que sale empate. Es una batalla por las almas de los hombres. La lucha de la vida es una batalla por las almas de los hombres. Solamente que uno falla no quiere decir que podrán o tendrán que seguir derrotado. Pero para ganar, uno tiene que levantarse una vez más de las veces que ha caído. Whenever we see a struggle, and I don't like to use the word fight, but in the Christian life it is a fight between right and wrong. We notice that some win and some lose. In a game, part of the objective of a game is that you wonder what the score is at the end. Who won, who lost. Sometimes, it comes out even. Like the score in the softball game was 7 runs to 7 runs, just for an example. It's seldom, but it happens. Okay? But the struggle we're speaking of this morning is the struggle and the battle for the souls of men. Just because someone fails or falls does not mean that they need to stay there. Heroism, someone has said, consists in getting up one more time than you fell down. And we need to keep that in mind. There is a way, if we have fallen, to get up and go again. I don't want to give the impression this morning that we are on a continual up and down. Now we sin, now we confess, now we get better again. I don't want to give that type of impression this morning, but rather an awareness that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. No quiero dar la impresión esta mañana que la vida es una continuo de subes y bajas en la vida, que pecamos y hacemos mal y de repente confesamos y que ya arreglamos cuentas con Dios de nuevo, nos levantamos. Y otra vez seguimos en algo de victoria, oh, de una vez, otra vez para abajo. No quiero dar esa impresión. Es cierto que somos humanos, hacemos errores, A veces pecamos, pero si alguno pecare, abogado tenemos para con el Padre Jesucristo, el justo. Y Él es la propiciación por nuestros pecados, y no solamente por los nuestros, sino para los de todo el mundo. We need to learn to live a victorious Christian life, because one day the fight is over. One day the struggle ends. And where will we be in that day? When we have our last breath, the last pulse of our heart. Una razón que eso es muy importante es que algún día llegará el último suspiro. El último latido de su corazón llegará algún día, algún momento llega a cada cual de nosotros. Y la pregunta es si estamos en ese momento, ¿quedaremos victoriosos o quedaremos derrotados y vencidos y apartados de la presencia de Dios? So what is a overcomer this morning? What is an overcomer? Who is that person? An overcomer is one who brings passions into subjection. To bring something into subjection. Someone who conquers. Someone who prevails. Someone who gains the victory. Someone who perseveres in the heat of the battle. Is able to bear and forbear the difficulties of life. That is the overcomer this morning. ¿Quién es un vencedor? Un vencedor es el cual que puede sujetar sus pasiones corporales, traerlos bajo sujeción. Es el cual que puede conquistar. Es el cual que puede prevalecer. Es el cual que puede ganar la victoria, el cual que puede aguantar cuando la cosa se pone difícil. Es el cual que puede perseverar a pesar de las dificultades, las penas, las tentaciones, él persevera. Another idea having to do with overcoming is, it's the opposite of defeat. It's the opposite of being overcome, as in being underneath or failing. It's the opposite of being overpowered by the enemy of our souls. And we could talk about that this morning, but we want to cover some territory, and I don't want you to be here too long. But when you think about it, we do have an enemy of our souls, and he has many agents around us. Many tools that he uses to bring defeat to the Christian. And we're not here to discuss all of that this morning, but we do want to overcome. Otra parte de la palabra vencedor es opuesto de ser derrotado, opuesto de ser vencido, opuesto de ser sobre empoderado. Por el enemigo. Recordamos, hermanos, que tenemos un enemigo, el enemigo de nuestra alma, el cual que quiere llevarnos consigo al infierno. Recordemos eso. Pero hay manera de vencerlo, gracias a Dios. There is a way to be victorious this morning. Thank God for that. And we want to look at some things this morning that we need to overcome and then we want to look at some rewards of the overcomers. Entonces esta mañana queremos ver algunas cosas que tenemos que vencer y cómo vencerlas. Y últimamente queremos ver, al fin del mensaje, queremos notar galardones para el vencedor. Para ser un vencedor, no podemos darnos por vencido. The way we need to overcome this morning, dear friends and loved ones, is by never giving up. Don't give up. It would be interesting this morning, and this is just a visual, but let's just imagine that the Christian life is down at the stop, and eternal life and time in heaven and all that is down at this stop sign down here. And let's just imagine that every one of us starts here and goes there. And I'm not sure how many steps. Let's just imagine it's 500 steps down to the stop sign down here. Let's just imagine that to get there is 500 steps. I don't know how far it is. I can see it almost from here. But just imagine 500. Let's just imagine that someone started right and made 150 steps and decided, you know what? I'm done with this. I can't do it anymore. And stops. Let's just imagine somebody else, a little more determined, a little more capable. He goes 350 steps, and he says, you know what? I'm done with this. I can't do it anymore. It's too hard. Let's just imagine that somebody says, I'm going to try hard, and they go, and they go, and they make it to 475 steps and stop. Let's imagine somebody else goes 499 steps, and just as their life is ending and just as time is running out, the devil wins. And they say, you know what? I'm done. And they never made the 500th step. My dear friends, it's a graphic because it happens all the time. People just say, I've had enough. The appeals of the world are so good, I'm just going to give up. We never, never, never should give up until we're done with the race. And I'm speaking to myself because I feel it in my own life, the tendency, the temptation. And that's one reason it's on my mind like it is. Ilustrando un poquito, imaginemos que hay 500 pasos desde aquí en el frente de la capilla hasta el alto, ahí al final de esta calle. Imaginemos que son 500 pasos y uno va 150 y decide, usted sabe, ya he caminado 150 pasos y ya, ahí vamos a terminar. Vamos a decir que otro decide, bueno, yo soy valiente, yo voy a ponerle buen esmero. Y camina 350 pasos y termina. Ya no más. Vamos a imaginar, lamentosamente, que alguien va 999 pasos y decide, yo no puedo tomar el último paso, ya no. Imaginando que allí en ese alto, imaginando que eso es vida eterna, imaginando que eso es el cielo, imaginando que eso es el galardón eterno. Y uno caminó 499 pasos y se dio por vencido. Satanás ganó en el último momento de su vida. Y no logró el galardón. Para ser vencedor no podemos darnos por vencido. Now there's one illustration that I want to give right along with this. And this happened to a distant relative of mine. And it happened in a public school setting, I think, in some kind of a running competition that they had, some kind of a track event. And I'm just using this for sake of illustration because this is a part of Christian life and something that I want to make clear to us all. There was these young boys racing, foot racing, and my aunt, who is a grandmother, was watching her grandson running. And he was running, and he was running with a bunch of other boys. And in the race, one of his friends fell down and hurt himself. He fell down, tripped up, messed up, fell down. And the boy named Joby, instead of running and keeping on and beating the rest of them, he stopped and knelt down beside his comrade that fell and tried to see what he could do to help him out. And that grandma just said, when I saw Joby stop beside his comrade that fell and take time for him, he won the race. I don't care who won it. Joby won it. And you know what? It's Brothers and sisters, this morning we need to learn to stop alongside the one that's down and help them find their way again. Es una ilustración de escuela pública, un familiar mío. Mi tía es abuela del jovencito que estaba en una competencia de carrera de a pie. Estaba corriendo junto con un grupo de muchachos, todos entusiasmados, todos con lleno de energía, corriendo hacia una meta. Y ella tenía un nieto que estaba corriendo junto con ese grupito. Y sucede que en la carrera, uno de sus compañeros de repente cayó. Se trompicó, cayó, rascó todo feo. En vez de seguir corriendo, ese muchacho que se llamaba Joby decidió: pueden seguir corriendo, pero yo voy a ponerme a rodillas al par de mi compañero que cayó. Y usted sabe que es mi tía, que es abuela del jovencito Joby, dijo que en mi opinión, Joby es el cual que ganó la carrera a pesar de quien llegó al blanco primero, ¿verdad? Pero en la vida cristiana nos toca a veces pararnos en esa carrera y rodearnos al par de alguien que está luchando y darles la mano, darles consolación y ayudarles a levantarse de vuelta. The Bible, for a good reason, says, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. La Biblia, por una buena razón, dice, por tanto, levantar las manos caídas y las rodillas endebles y enderezar sendas por vuestros pies para que el extraviado no salga del camino, sino que sea sanado. Por el buen motivo lo dice, porque la carrera a veces es muy difícil. Life's journey is not easy, and sometimes someone falls and fails, and we need to do what we can to rally around that one. An overcomer is one who, in spite of the battle, eventually gains the victory. El vencedor, a pesar de la batalla, últimamente gana la victoria. Ahora, queremos ver cosas que tenemos que vencer. Things that we need to overcome to be victorious in the Christian life. Number one, we need to gain victory over, we need to overcome temptations and sin. The Christian is one who lives free from the guilt of the sin of yesterday. He lives free from the power of sin in the present, and he desires the day when he will be free from the presence of sin in the future. Whenever a person gets to be with Jesus in his personal presence, there will be no sin anymore. Using the illustration of the stop sign, when you finally get there, if that were just for the sake of illustration, life eternal, life in heaven, if it were, there's no more presence of sin, nothing to ever pull us down. Cosas que tenemos que vencer, número uno, tenemos que vencer tentaciones y pecados. El cristiano es uno que vive libertado de la culpa y el pesar del pecado del pasado. Vive libre del poder del pecado en el presente. Y anhela el día de ser libre de la presencia del pecado en el futuro. En el cielo con Jesús no habrá pecado. Cuando lleguemos a donde está Jesús, ya no hay más pecado, ¿verdad? En el cielo no hay pecado. El canto dice, nunca entrará allí. Ningún pecado entrará en el cielo. Pero si hay pecado en nuestras vidas, nos impide la entrada. If there's sin in our lives, dear friends, this morning, it will hinder our entrance. As we sing in the song, I think it's in your Christian hymnal, sin can never enter there. We need to also, this morning, overcome the powers of darkness. To be overcomers, we need to overcome the powers of darkness. And those powers are everywhere. And I was impressed this morning in listening to Brother Merle's devotional and thinking about things that I've observed and heard and seen in my short years of life. There are plenty of them out there, powers of darkness. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And those things are around us. And we need to overcome those powers of darkness. Otra cosa que tenemos que vencer para poder ser victorioso en la vida cristiana es son los poderes de tinieblas. Efesios 5:11 dice, "No participéis en las obras infructuosas de las tinieblas, sino más bien reprendedlas." No podemos participar de eso. Tenemos que reprenderlo más bien, los poderes de tinieblas que están por todos lados. Already referred to this morning, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it goes on and gives us the armor, the tools, the combat equipment that we need to overcome. No luchamos contra sangre ni carne ni sangre, sino contra principados, contra potestades, contra los gobernadores de las tinieblas de este siglo, contra huestes espirituales de maldad en regiones celestes. Usted sabe que al seguir ahí en Efesios 6, nos da a entender la armadura del cristiano. Herramientas que usted y yo ocupamos para ser vencedores en la vida espiritual y en la lucha contra la maldad. Eso es un mensaje en sí mismo. We also need to overcome the world. The world. We need to overcome the world. For whatsoever is born of God, it says in 1 John, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Lo que es nacido de Dios vence el pecado, vence al mundo. Y esa es la victoria que vence al mundo, vuestra fe. Dice la Biblia, tenemos que aprender a vencer el mundo, las maldades que hay en el mundo. Porque todo lo que es nacido de Dios vence al mundo, como ya dije. Y esta es la victoria que vence al mundo, vuestra fe. La fe que vence, la fe que hay en Jesús, la fe que pone nuestra pequeñísima fe en un gran Dios. Taking our tiny faith and investing it in our great big God. The victory that overcomes the world is your faith and mine. And our faith in a great big God who is able to do so much more than us. Take your tiny faith and put it in God. And then, as Brother Anthony was sharing with us, the faith that overcomes the world. And there's a list of them in Hebrews 11, and he gave us some wonderful thoughts already about that. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. No améis el mundo ni las cosas que están en el mundo. Si alguno ama el mundo, el amor del Padre no está en él. Por todo lo que hay en el mundo, los deseos de la carne, los deseos de los ojos y la vanagloria de la vida, no proviene del Padre sino del mundo. Y el mundo pasa y sus deseos, y el que hace la voluntad de Dios permanece para siempre. No olvidemos. Never forget verses like that. It is possible to overcome the world. Jesus said, one place, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesús dijo a sus discípulos una vez, gozaos, porque he vencido al mundo. Y si él venció, también nos da el poder con qué hacerlo. If Jesus overcome, came the world, if we are his followers, we take his plans, obey his directives, we also can be victorious. How can we overcome the world is the next question we want to look at. We need to overcome the world, we need to be born again. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We must be born again. We must become new creatures in Christ. Allow a new spirit to control us, a new heart, a new mind. Segundo punto que queremos notar es cómo podemos ser vencedores. Tenemos que ser nacidos de nuevo, de modo si alguno está en Cristo, nueva criatura es. Las cosas viejas pasaron y he aquí todas son hechas nuevas. Tenemos que recibir un corazón nuevo, una mente nueva de Jesús y su obra transformadora en nuestros corazones. ¿Cómo podemos ser vencedores? También creer en Jesús por salvación. We also need to believe in Christ for salvation. Jesus said, in the world you will have affliction, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Cuando creemos en Cristo para salvación, pensemos en esas palabras. En el mundo tendréis aflicción, y todos nosotros sabemos que eso existe. En el mundo tendréis aflicción, pero confiad. Yo he vencido al mundo, Jesús dice. Y si Él venció al mundo, nos da a entender que también podemos nosotros vencer. If Jesus Christ was able to overcome the world, He gives us all that we need to do it as well. To be an overcomer this morning, we also need to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Para poder ser vencedores esta mañana, tenemos que pelear la buena batalla de la fe y echar mano a la vida eterna. A quick story. One time, I was still single yet, several years before I got married, and there was a group of us in Central America, Costa Rica. We went on an activity, and there was some of the guys were going to go to a large river. Some were going to swim, and some were going to fish. And then after that, we're going to have a meal together and stuff. And so we were all there, and the current was stronger in that river than I was anticipating. And I'm not a good swimmer to begin with. And Pablo Yoder, if you ever heard that name, happened to be fishing along the bank of the river, but he had some equipment with him. And I'm glad he did, because I just felt that I was getting close to the edge. The bank was steeper than I thought it would be, and the current was stronger, and I knew I was wearing out. And Pablo, at that moment, just threw a rope right out to where I was. I wasn't farther from the bank than from here to that bench. And I tell you, I got on that rope and I hung on. I just hung on. And we soon were all in good shape again. In Spanish, it comes out a little better, and that's one of the reasons I like it. So, in Costa Rica hace varios años cuando era todavía soltero. Una vez estaba nadando en un río grande con varios otros jóvenes. Algunos estaban pescando en ese río y otros estaban nadando y tirándose en el agua y todo eso. Yo era uno y no soy un nadador bueno. Y Pablo Yor estaba con nosotros en aquel entonces y estaba como supervisando el grupo. Y él estaba ahí pescando, pero tenía otro equipo consigo. Y yo llegué como un tanto, casi a la orilla, pero la orilla, el paderón estaba más alto que pensaba. El correntada era bastante fuerte en el río. Llegué como un tanto de aquí a esa banca de la orilla. Y de repente Pablo notó que estaba como debilitándome. Y de repente me tiró una cuerda, me tiró un mecate, un lazo. Y me gusta lo que dice en español en ese verso. Echar mano a la vida eterna. Grab a hold of eternal life. Don't let it go. To be an overcomer, we need to grab a hold of. As it says in Spanish, echar mano a la vida eterna y no lo suelta. Grab a hold of it and never let it go. To be an overcomer this morning, there's a threefold recipe in Revelation 12, verse 11. There's a lot of stuff in Revelation 12, 11, and if I remember, about 10, 15 years ago, I was in this assembly and spoke about this subject. But it bears repeating. We're not going to talk all about the background and that, but we're going to look at a threefold recipe to be an overcomer. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him, talking about the powers of darkness, talking about the wickedness of the world. They overcame him, number one, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Hablando de qué necesitamos para ser vencedores. Una receta que viene de Apocalipsis 12, verso 11. Apocalipsis 12, verso 11. No podemos dar el contexto, pero habla todo el contexto de ser vencedores en las cosas del mundo, los poderes de tinieblas. Es como un resumen de lo que ya hemos hablado. Y dice, lo vencieron, lo han vencido por medio de la sangre del Cordero número uno. La palabra del testimonio de ellos, número dos, y menospreciaron sus vidas hasta la muerte, número tres. Y pudiéramos tener un mensaje de solamente ese verso, pero nos dan una receta para ganar la victoria y para ser vencedores. La sangre del Cordero, la palabra de nuestro testimonio, y menospreciaron sus vidas hasta la muerte. A threefold recipe for victory. The blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony that we share with others, and the testimony of our lives. And they love not their lives unto the death. And if God so requires that we give our lives in His service, it is an honor. It is not a disgrace. And sometimes we forget that. So, what are some of the rewards of an overcomer? What are some rewards of an overcomer? And I invite you now for the remainder of the message to look at Revelation chapter 2. I want to go down over this list of rewards to the overcomer. In every one of the letters to the seven churches, it gives at least one thing and sometimes several things that are rewards to an overcomer. And we want to just look at those briefly yet this morning. So what are the rewards for an overcomer? The Bible says that it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. The next verse says, but they are revealed unto us by his Spirit. The truth is that although the Spirit reveals that to us, I don't think I, at least, don't understand at all. ¿Qué son los galardones del vencedor? Hay muchas, si pueden, si quieren, tienen Biblias, pueden buscar Apocalipsis capítulo 2 y 3 y vamos a notar varias cosas ahí. Pero antes de decir eso, quiero nada más mencionarnos ese verso. Antes bien, como está escrito, cosas que ojo no vio, ni oído oyó, ni han subido en corazón de hombre son las que Dios ha preparado para los que le aman. Hay mucho en la Biblia que no entiendo, quizás usted también no lo entiende, pero Dios lo ha revelado por su Espíritu y algunas de esas cosas nos da por lo menos un vistazo. Maybe we don't understand everything about the Christian life and what all the rewards may be in life at the end of the journey when we finally made it home, but there's a few things that it tells us, and we're looking here now to Revelation chapter 2 and we're starting in verse 7. If you notice, every one of the seven churches, he gives some words of affirmation, some words of rebuke sometimes to some of them, or most of them, not all of them, and words of encouragement. But it says at the end, almost always, at the end of each letter, it gives to him that overcometh, and then gives something. Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Apocalipsis 2:7. El que tiene oído oiga lo que el Espíritu dice a las iglesias. Al que venciere le daré a comer del árbol de la vida, el cual que está en medio del paraíso de Dios. Imagine being able to eat of the tree of life. It bears 12 manner of fruits and yielding her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Imagine eating fruit from such a tree. A tree that has a different kind of fruit every month. I didn't know they had time in heaven until that verse. That does give a little bit of a time frame. A changing fruit and a good fruit and a healthy fruit. And God says that if you ever come one day, you will have the privilege of eating from that tree. Imagine. Imagínese usted poder comer del árbol de la vida con frutos, 12 cada mes, 12 diferentes tipos de frutos, un tipo cada mes, y que las hojas de ese árbol son por la sanidad de las naciones. Imagínese usted, el árbol de la vida. Eating of the tree of life, something we can't imagine, something that's beyond human description. I have not seen, neither ear heard. Let's go on to chapter 2 and verse 10. Chapter 2 and verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and ye shall be tried. And ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So we see two things here specifically. We see that you will receive the crown of life and also not be hurt of the second death. And I just don't know how it would be to be able to have a glorified body and look back on life and what the second death would look like from that perspective, but to not have that hanging over our heads as those who never believe in Jesus would have. The second death is one of the most horrendous things because it banishes a person ever and forever from the presence of God and into the eternal darkness with the devil and his angels. Imagine that. But to be able to be out of that, even the potential possibility of it, freed from the second death once and for all, and at the same time have a crown of life. Apostle Paul, as he came to the end of his life, he says, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, therefore is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He peleado la buena batalla, he acabado la carrera, he guardado la fe. Por lo demás me es guardada la corona de justicia, el cual me dará el Señor juez justo en aquel día, y no solo a mí, sino también a todos los que aman su venida. Not unto me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. And I trust there's a good handful of us here this morning, or a good little group of us here this morning, that are looking for the appearing of Jesus Christ. And we can receive the crown of life and never be damaged or bothered by the second death. But it requires being faithful unto death. And then we receive the crown of life. Make it all the way to the end. All 500 steps, if you want to use that illustration. All of them. Not 480 or less. Be faithful unto death. Now we're looking at verse 17. 2:17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And I don't know all that what you might think of whenever you think of eating of hidden manna, and the new white stone, and a new name. And that's just fascinating to me. I was asked to speak one time about that subject, a new name. And because of that, I studied into this one a little bit. But in the courts of that generation, whenever a criminal was before the court, and the judge and the jury looked at his case, he would walk out of that court with either a white stone or a black one. Always, that was the way they did it. If he had a white stone, it means that the evidence of the court, the evidence that the law found against him, he was free, he was able to move on with life, he was free to go. A white stone, if he walked out of there with a black stone, it meant that he was condemned, possibly to death. Now and for, I mean, he's done, finished. He's condemned, he's bad off. El que tiene oído, oiga lo que le dice el Espíritu a las iglesias. El que venciere, daré a comer del maná escondido. Y le daré una piedrecita blanca, y en la piedrecita escrito un nombre nuevo, el cual ninguno conoce sino aquel que lo recibe. Imagínese usted, ¿qué significa esas piedras? En los tribunales de antes, en aquellos tribunales, el juez examinaba un criminal, alguien que estaba acusado. Y cuando salió él del tribunal, o en su mano tenía una piedra blanca, una piedra negra. Y si él fuere culpable, tenía una piedra negra. Pero si salió victorioso, si salió que la ley nada podía hallar en su contra, salió con una piedra blanca. Y Jesús dice, le daré una piedrecita blanca. Y en esa piedra, escrito un nombre nuevo para esa persona. Y hay mucho ahí que uno pudiera comentar. Pero medítelo en su corazón. Maybe you ought to think about, what's that white stone look like? I'm telling you, it would be just like the biggest prize you ever got. A white stone with a new name written on it for you that no one else has. There's a lot of people that have repeated names. And is it John Miller of this town or that town or of this address or which one is it? There's multitudes of them, okay? But a new name that no one else has in that white stone. And it's you. And you won. Imagine that. Revelation 2:26. Al que venciere, guardaré mis obras hasta el fin. Yo le daré autoridad sobre las naciones y las regirá con vara de hierro. Y serán quebrantadas como vaso de alfarero. Como yo también he escribido de mi Padre, le daré la estrella de la mañana. El que tiene oído, oiga lo que el Espíritu dice a las iglesias. Talks about him that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end. To him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Here I'm not going to make much comment, but it talks about ruling the nations. It talks about receiving the morning star. And I don't know, I don't have enough sense to figure out all that, but it has to be good or Jesus wouldn't have it here. And maybe you can do some meditating on that. But it says if you overcome and you keep my words unto the end, al que venciere guardare mis obras hasta el final, y no sé todo lo que significa la estrella mañana y gobernando las naciones, no sé. Dios sabrá. Pero son galardones siempre para el cual que vence. Moving on to Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. We go to Apocalipsis 3:5, dice, el que venciere será vestido de vestiduras blancas, y no borraré su nombre del libro de la vida, y confesaré su nombre delante de mi Padre, delante de sus ángeles. No sé qué bendición habrá de ser cuando lleguemos a la presencia de Dios, y Jesús está ahí, y nos lleva a la presencia, mero presencia del Padre, y confiesa nuestro nombre delante de Él. Imagínense qué bendición más grande. Que ese ya me ha seguido en la vida y ha seguido hasta el final y ha guardado mis mandamientos. Aquí está, delante de su presencia. Y lo presenta al Padre. Just imagine what a blessing it would be if Jesus takes you or I one day, or any one of us, and presents us before the Father and says, this is my beloved Son. This one has believed in salvation, in our plan of salvation. He's kept my commandments and he's overcome. Imagine that, and that famous benediction we have out of Jude. There, present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Imagine such a thing. What a blessing. Chapter 3, verse 12, talks here about, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is the new Jerusalem, which cometh down from God out of heaven. And I will write upon him my new name. Habla aquí en 3:12 de Apocalipsis, el que venciere le haré columna en el templo de mi Dios. Y nunca más saldrá de ahí, escribiré sobre él el nombre de mi Dios y el nombre de la ciudad de mi Dios. La nueva Jerusalén, la cual desciende del cielo de mi Padre, y mi nombre nuevo. Otra vez, no puedo explicar mucho de eso, pero ser parte del cielo donde no habrá jamás oportunidad ni querer salir de ahí. Become part of the whole thing there in heaven, And I don't understand what all it says here in verse 12. I wish I did maybe more, but all those things mean that we're permanently in a beautiful place and we will not need to ever go away again. It will be home for the Christian, home for the believer, home for the one who has overcome. I want to go now to verse 21 of chapter 3. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Just think about that. Who are we to be worthy enough to have a chance to sit beside Christ on his throne? I mean, imagine that. An unworthy sinner, saved by the blood of Jesus, and sitting with Christ on his throne. I mean, that must be quite the place. You know how sometimes if children want to go with daddy in the truck, you know, and they kind of look forward to the day when they're big enough to go with daddy in the truck or something. But imagine sitting with Jesus on his throne and taking turns. You had your turn yesterday, I'll take my turn today and have that for eternity. I mean, imagine that. Just think of it for a while. Imagínese el privilegio de sentar un ratito con Cristo en su trono. Como un niño que quiere acompañar a su papá para hacer algún mandado. Quizás andar en una máquina grande en la finca, qué sé yo. Andar con papá. Sentarse al par de Jesús en su trono. Qué maneras. Magnífico. I have one more that I want to note, and I know this message is getting longer than I wanted it to, and probably you are thinking the same thing. But I want to go yet to one final verse in Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. It says, he that overcometh will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. El que venciere heredará todas las cosas, y yo seré su Dios, y él será mi hijo. This is Revelation 21:7. Imagine inheriting all things. And who are we to inherit that? And Jesus being our God and we being his child forever and ever. But that can start today. Having these promises, dearly beloved, having these promises to the overcomer, having these promises that we've looked at and a whole lot more that we haven't. Having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Pensando en tantas promesas que hemos visto y tantas que no lo hemos podido ver todavía, pensemos en ese verso. 2 Corintios 7:1, así que amados, puesto que tenemos tales promesas, limpiémonos de toda contaminación de carne y de espíritu, perfeccionando la santidad en el temor de Dios, porque todos queremos llegar a la meta. Todos queremos tener en nuestra mano la piedrecita blanca, que es el premio, la corona de vida y tantas cosas más. All of us, I trust, want to have in our hand one day a white stone with a new name written there. I trust we all want to make it there, but we need to perfect holiness in the fear of God from day to day. And having these promises is a stimulus to do that. If we live for Christ and we die in Christ, and if we are faithful unto death, we will be able to enjoy the blessings, the rewards, and many, many more things that we haven't even seen or heard. Let us be faithful. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Si vivimos para Cristo y morimos en Cristo, y si somos fieles hasta la muerte, vamos a poder disfrutar de esos galardones y mucho, mucho más todavía, lo cual no podemos ni explicar ni imaginar. Seamos fieles. El cielo valdrá la pena por toda tristeza y pesar o lucha que enfrentamos en esa vida. Que Dios nos ayude hacia ese fin. That God would help us to this end, one day to be overcomers and be in his presence forever. May God add his blessing.